You are listening to Rouge, White, and Blue, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Rouge, White, and Blue CFL podcast. My name's Oz Davis. I'll be one of the co-hosts for the show. And joining me, as always, is Joe Pritchard. Joe, how's it going today?
It's going pretty well. We were able to get our little boy asleep before the show. He was a little tired today, so we put on some classical music. But that's where I realized that my definition of classical music and my wife's definition is different. She was talking about Mozart and Bach and Beethoven, and I was thinking more Sam Spence, but she won that one.
Right, not classic, Joe. Classical.
That's where I've got it wrong.
Yeah, it's that schwa syllable at the end there that got you. And also on the show with us, as always, is our co-host, Dr. Rouge. Doctor, how's it going today?
You know, here's the answer. Rouge Day. What is the question?
That's right. What day is it? I'll take obscure days of the week for 400.
Nope. The answer is Rouge Day, and the question is, what is the one day of the week you most look forward to?
The one day of the week.
The one.
Really? Thanks. So you like doing the podcast and talking about the show more than actually like watching the games?
No, I just said you can make Rouge Day any day of the week you want. Because it's the one day of the week you look forward to most of all.
Like it's a Rouge Letter Day.
Precisely.
Right.
But you can't call it the single best day of the week, but you can call it the one best day of the week.
Right. So you can't list Rouge as your marital status?
I suppose you could. I might advise people not to, but you certainly could.
Well, if any woman did that, hey, she's a keeper, right?
Theoretically, I'll have to say yes, because you know, after 21 and a half years, I'm not trading in this one for anything.
Well, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
No way.
I don't think any of us is young enough to have done online dating. I think that came in like after we were out.
after we were out.
I don't mean to after out of the game. Right? Out of the game. Right?
Man, I mean, you make it sound like we're 106.
Wow.
Yeah, you guys forget that I'm slightly younger than you guys. And the online dating thing worked for me. So.
Oh, wow. All right.
Really?
Yes.
There's our sponsor. There's our sponsor, Joe. Talk to those people. You guys can do a testimonial. It would be great.
I think that site's long dead, but it worked. It was there for when we needed it. That's all.
Joe was a website killer. Okay?
Literally one in a million, most likely, at that site. Right, that's why it folded. Right. Okay. Well, this got off the rails quickly. Before we get back on the rails, though, however, I would like to congratulate Dr. Rouge on the birth of his new website. Not so different, I suppose. Did you get rid of the tagline, stop feeling, start thinking? Why?
It wasn't working for me, so to speak, but you actually deserve credit for me going out and doing new layout and a new name. True, I'm being serious.
Good. Thanks.
You had mentioned the old name and that it was a little wordy and you know, if you weren't really paying attention, you'd spell it wrong, etc. And I got thinking about it and thought, you know what? For once in his life, he's right. And and so made a slight change or two here or there. And now MoretiPhD.wordpress.com is out there. And I did think hard, by the way, about making it Dr. Rouge, but I thought, that may be too obscure.
On the thing about me always being wrong, did you take Hamilton last week?
Joe, do we have to have this guy on every week?
Because if you if you did, by my record, that's an 0-3 for you, Dr. Bruce. Now I'm not sorry, I'm not implying that you're always wrong, but
when it comes to Hamilton, no.
Well, there you go. See, Joe applied the Costanza logic to Ottawa, and he nailed that one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, always do the opposite when it comes to Ottawa.
I get this tweet from Joe whenever it was on Saturday or Sunday, and it goes something like, I did call that Ottawa game, didn't I? And I'm thinking, oh, come on, man. Don't rub it in.
Oh, man. I went on record as saying, I'll take the Riders, you know, minus the 5. I mean, ugly. They lost that one by 10. Right. Anyway, let's talk some specifics about last week's game. Short slate last week, only 3 games. Mercifully, some teams got a bye week. Mercilessly, mine did not. BC Lions 32 at Montreal Alouettes 14. All 3 of us took Montreal in this game, which was kind of insane, at least on my part. I mean, I honestly can't believe that last week I argued both simultaneously for Johnny Manziel to start that game and that the Alouettes were going to win. And keep, well, I didn't even say that. I said they would keep it under 3, but I did have them winning as well. What was I thinking? That's a rhetorical question. You guys don't get to answer that one. Instead, I need to rant for 30 more seconds, and you may wear this shoe as you see fit. Antonio Pipkin, no longer my main man, goes 11 of 12 for 95 yards. And 4 interceptions, by the way. I don't even know how to describe this one. But we can say that total in his 4 starts, that's 8 interceptions against 1 passing touchdown. And all those praising Pipkin as a game manager and arguing that he won the starting job may now quiet down, please. Thank you very much. That concludes my rant for this segment of the show. Joe, why don't you tell us the good things that the BC Lions did in winning their first game outside of BC and not outside of BC, we'll say.
They caught a lot of passes, both on offense and on defense.
Well done. That's analysis by the Rouge, White, and Blue CFL podcast. Thank you. Thank you. Do you have anything to add to that, Doctor?
They caught a lot of passes. No. Okay. You know, I think more importantly, I'm still not sure that BC is a legitimate 5-16. Now, bear with me for a minute. The 3 of us talked last week about that sort of quirky home field advantage they have, especially when Eastern teams come to town and they play those Friday night or Saturday night games that start at the equivalent of 10 o'clock Eastern time. And then they go on the road. They finally win a game on the road. Yes, but it's Montreal.
Right. With a guy who threw for 95 yards.
Precisely. You know, they've got, I believe it's Ottawa back-to-back, and then I think Winnipeg back-to-back, if I remember correctly.
No, because they played Winnipeg back-to-back early, and they are done with Winnipeg.
That's right.
Against the Tiger Cats, at the Tiger Cats.
That's it. Home against Hamilton Toronto. Back-to-back. Yep. You know, let's see, you know, if they sweep Hamilton, and they get to 7-6, and I'm not counting on that, but let's just say they sweep Hamilton. That would mean then 2 road wins in 3 weeks, making long trips east. They would then be 7-6. I think then you might say, wow, Wally Buono's really gotten that ship straightened out. For now, I'm still skeptical, but on paper, they are a better positioned team to make the playoffs than at least 2 teams in the Eastern Division, and perhaps better than chance than 1 team in the West. So give them credit at least for not folding after that bad start.
Okay. I can understand why you're skeptical. I mean, I'm the biggest BC Lions truther in the world. I still maintain that their only really quality win was beating the Eskimos. And again, you know, this is a late game. The Eskimos were on a short week that week. So, you know, I think you got every right to be skeptical here. They've beaten Montreal twice this season. Have they beaten the Argonauts twice? No, but they went 1-1 with Winnipeg. So, you know, that's going to muck up the tiebreaker there. They're doing just enough to get by. And today it hit me in a flash. I had an inspiration. You can just see it now. This is Wally Buono in his swan song upsetting who in the Grey Cup but the Calgary Stampeders.
Hell, doesn't everybody do that?
Right, exactly. And that's the way he goes out. You know, that well, this is becoming the traditional way to retire. In the CFL, you got to beat.
Let's
Calgary
face it. If this team makes the playoffs simply because it's Buono, that's going to be everybody's second favorite team or first favorite team, depending upon who's playing in that particular week.
Well, that would certainly be a change.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. You know, Wally Buono deserves to be in that very short list of not only coaches who have done tremendous things in the CFL, but just one hell of a good guy. And, you know, let's say this team scrapes to 9-9 and sneaks into the postseason. That may not be an unrealistic scenario. I mean, let's face it, especially if they go east, which is, I think, most likely that they would be a crossover team.
Right.
Let's face it, there would be a lot of support for this idea of Buono going out, hoisting one more cup over his head and, you know, marching off into retirement. That'd be a great story. That'd really be a great story.
Okay, Joe, as we see some separation in the West and as we see a couple of teams in the East sort of stumbling into oblivion, what do you think at this point in the season? Who would you hedge your bets with? Oh, boy, this is a loaded question. For that fourth spot. For the sixth spot, I should say, BC Lions or Winnipeg Blue Bombers?
That's a little tough. I wish I'd have gotten this question a little bit earlier because then I could take a peek at the schedule. But BC does not have the tiebreaker with Winnipeg. Winnipeg has that. Mm-hmm. So, but Winnipeg has a game in hand as well.
Here's BC.
Or BC has a game in hand, so they're 5-6 and Winnipeg's
That's right.
5-7.
That's right. They're half a game up. They're half a game up. Which, by the way, is where the Canadian / European soccer system fails on the standing board. Because actually, like you say, BC has a game in hand, and that's not indicated in the point system. So by the American system, yes. BC Lions is half a game up on the Bombers. Now, BC Lions has this. They got the home and home with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. They have versus Toronto Argonauts at Calgary, versus Edmonton, at Saskatchewan, and versus Calgary. That's a hardcore final four games if Stampeders are still fielding a team in week 20, of course.
Best case scenario, you're 8-10.
Yeah.
Best case scenario in that. And that presumes a split with Hamilton. Mm-hmm. That presumes a win over Toronto, and that presumes Calgary has nothing to play for at the end, and Hamilton does.
Right.
I think 8-10 is about as best as you could project for this team right now.
Okay, there you go. There's the target for the Blue Bombers.
All right, so what do the Blue Bombers finish with?
All right, let's see. Let's go to the schedule here. All right.
This Montreal.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Then
versus Montreal.
Then at Edmonton. At Ottawa, home against the Riders, bye week in week 19, home against Calgary, which is a little bit more likely to be a real game than the week 21 matchup, and then at Edmonton, who's likely going to be fighting for 2 or 3.
Yes.
So I don't see a lot of
easy ones.
A lot of easy ones for either side. I could see BC doing it, just the way you're projecting them for 8-10. Just at a glance here, if the Bombers don't get their stuff together, a 7-11 is realistic.
Yeah, they can't win more than 2 games if they don't shape up. Alouettes, Bombers, Alouettes with Johnny Football, by the way.
Let's face it, this week sets a whole lot of potential or lack of potential for Winnipeg. You know, if they lose this week, it's really possible that at this point you could say with pretty firm conviction that Mike O'Shea has probably lost upper management, and Matt Nichols has probably at some point lost his job with this team. O'Shea might stick it out with Nichols, but if they're 5-8, oh boy.
Yes, O'Shea released a statement today saying that based on his history with the club, Matt Nichols gets the start this week and probably will in the foreseeable future. I wouldn't be surprised if he closed the season as the starter. Right, let's go on. How do we get on to the Blue Bombers out of that game? Right, Calgary Stampeders 43, Hamilton Tiger Cats 28. Wow. Hamilton goes up 10-0. The Stampeders almost collectively realize, hey, we might lose two in a row, and went on a 43-18 run after that, including, surprise not, a 23-9 second half win advantage, however you want to call it. Alex, for the Tiger Cats, I thought Alex Green looked pretty good. I mean, he was averaging he got, my stats say, 76 total yards on 13 touches, but then he left this game and he's been ruled out for the next one. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, for the passing game, Luke Tasker was there, but he was alone. Brandon Banks was ruled out. I don't know exactly when it happened, but it had to have been within 12 to 18 hours of kickoff time, and he's not going to play next week. Probably, possibly. I forget where he is. Doubtful. He's in that gray area for next week, but we can discuss that later on. I think, in my opinion, the Stamps were impressive both on defense and on offense. Joe, which of them did you enjoy more?
Their defense wasn't as killer as it had been that first half of the season when you sung their praises every week.
Yeah.
I would say their offense came with the big plays, made a bunch of them, and were able to take over a game that looked like they were going to let slip away early on.
How do you weigh in on this one, Doctor?
All three of us last week thought, Calgary doesn't lose two in a row like Everett's teams. This was a team that potentially could have given them a second consecutive loss. And, you know, out came the big heavyweight punch and bam, down went Hamilton. We say it every year. Calgary is the franchise to model. The Stamps are the team to beat. You know, you look at the standings and you've got six teams that are between 7-5 and 5-7. And you got Calgary standing out there by itself at 10-2. And then you got whatever the heck Toronto and Montreal are this year. Calgary took a couple of punches and they responded. And when they woke up, so to speak, boy, did they ever wake up.
Well, yeah, no one's ever going to go 18-0 in the CFL, right? You're going to take a couple of losses every year, right? So those are your losses, right? Okay, here's the other. I don't know if it's a concern. It's definitely not a question that they can't maintain this pace, but whoa, some mutant statistics on this one. And I hope for some reason, if you were playing fantasy ball, that you started both these guys, Reggie Bagleton and Juwan Breskison, combined for what? How many catches? I think it was 10 or 15 catches. But anyway, 259 yards, one touchdown. Now, here's the thing. These two guys may be all there is for Bo Levi Mitchell even after the bye week, because as it came out today, Eric Rogers may still not be back, and DeVarius Daniels is on the six-game injury list. So he probably won't be back until playoff time. Obviously they can't maintain this torrid pace. I guess we can talk about this a bit later as well, but let me ask you this. Are we going to see another grinded-out game like we did in the first Edmonton game next week, Joe?
Yeah, you just never know. it's so hard for me to say on that at this point.
Well, the other thing I wanted to say, too, to you, Joe, I forgot to drop this in a second ago, but the Stamps defense wasn't killing it like they had been at the beginning of the year. Of course, they weren't giving up 40 points to Saskatchewan again either. However, however, what they were doing is they were going back to those sort of trap defenses that they used to play when they were running off 12, 13, 14 game winning streaks. And that was this. For example, yes, Jeremiah Masoli was over 62% completion rate, but the longest play that team managed was 19 yards. They could not whip off one big play. Bend but don't break? Wow. That's like bend and break through a series of two and outs. just really nice job by the defense, I thought. Just not statistically like going to blow you away. I mean, Alex Singleton only had five tackles. That may be a good thing. I'm sure Calgary would rather see that than have a 12 or 11 tackle game when they lose, you know, or take a lot of hits like they did last week. Right. Okay. Let's go to this one. Ottawa Red Blacks, 30, Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 25. As we alluded to earlier, a couple of us took the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. I even took them minus 5 points. I'll tell you what, here's my hot take. Defense may win championships, but you need a tad more than 223 yards on total offense, and I counted that. One touchdown and three turnovers just ain't going to cut it. Doc, can the Riders going forward generate enough offense to maybe get that home playoff game?
I'm skeptical. I look at this team and I think, how are they not doing more? You know, they've got a dynamite tandem at running back with Thigpen and Mason. Mm-hmm. They've got and his name escapes me at the moment, Lambert Williams, as sort of the guy who stepped in for Daron Carter and hasn't been a problem off the field or a distraction or anything like that. You know, and I look and it's
Namon Roosevelt.
I look at this team and it's like, man, they're boring on offense. I mean, they're just not good. Well, they are just not good on offense. And, you know, yeah, I get it. Chris Jones' specialty is defense. I get that. And you know, you could make, I think, a legitimate case that at this very moment, Saskatchewan's defense might be better than Calgary's, you know, right now. They're certainly one and two, however you want to put them into that conversation. But, you know, where you look at Calgary and you say, yeah, you know what? If they need to score 30 points to win, they might just do that. I don't know if Saskatchewan can score 30 points and win a game. I just don't think offensively right now they can do that. And, you know, are they the only team perhaps in the league that can beat you 17-13? Yeah, but there aren't very many 17-13 games in the Canadian Football League.
Yeah, well, what's wild is they don't. Yep. You know, I mean, in this game, the defense scored 19. Defense and special teams. Defense and special teams, we should
say. The offense basically did nothing.
I think they've scored two offensive touchdowns in the last three games, I believe, the Rough Riders.
Sounds right.
I mean, geez, I mean, the defense had 32 last week. I broke down these statistics for another piece on the website NFLbets.com. But wow, I mean, the defense is averaging something like 16 points a game in the last five games now. It's nuts. It's Joe. I throw the same question to you. Can this offense hope to generate enough points?
No, I don't think so.
Wow.
They have 8 passing touchdowns this season. 8.
Wow. 8
you know,
the
there's
whole
actually
season?
There's actually
the whole
there's
season.
Actually a team that has less. Any guesses as to who that is? Us.
Atlantic Schooners.
They're also behind the Riders, but a team that's actually played games this
year.
Yeah,
it's the Alouettes.
It is by 2. But yeah, the Riders
yeah,
are
make
just
make a guy feel
are,
bad, man.
Yeah, the Riders are down with the Argos and the Alouettes as far as their offensive production is concerned. Their defense is up not quite to Calgary levels. And here's another, here's a shocker too. BC is actually giving up fewer yards, per play than the Riders are.
Yes.
But Calgary and BC are doing a little, are doing better on defense. Ottawa and Winnipeg are right in there, and Hamilton's just slightly behind, as far as that goes. The thing that's making them sustainable at the moment is their defense is making huge plays.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But ask the Bombers how that works out when the big plays go away.
Well, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I guess, but but again, Sue, we shouldn't just be talking about defense because it is also the special teams. I mean, two special teams touchdowns in this game, right? A lot of nice field goal kicking going on there. You know, a few rouges from the Rough Riders this past few weeks. And also, I don't know, to me, you talk about the Riders' defense and the Stamps' defense, and to me, what's happened is the Riders have become that exciting defense, you know, where the average fan can see how the defense is dominating the game. That's what Calgary was doing at the beginning of the season, right? Calgary was doing that. Calgary was doing that with a point. You know, they were letting the offense warm up in that first quarter and a half and whatever, and, you know, taking over the show as though, you know, the defense is a collective alpha dog. And that's what Saskatchewan is doing. I just don't, clearly the Riders have no Bo Levi Mitchell, but it's just like, wow. I mean, Zach Collaros is not only old Zach Collaros, he is a shell of his former self. That injury, like, really took it out of him.
You want another number that screams at you that this is sustainable?
Sure.
And I don't mean to be picking on the Riders as a Bomber fan, because I feel that my team is less capable than the Riders at the moment.
But it doesn't
hurt, it doesn't kill me to do it. but they have scored 15 offensive touchdowns out of their 27 touchdowns as a team. Mm-hmm. No other team at a glance here. I'm just glancing here, but no other team appears to have more than 5 non-offensive touchdowns. The Riders have scored 12. I don't think that's going to continue.
Well, but also special teams again.
Right. Special teams, defense, but those things aren't going to be sustainable. The big plays aren't going to be sustainable. The yardage, that's going to be something that you're going to find more often. And they are still excellent in that regard, but that's not going to make up for their offense over the long haul, because their offense is third worst as far as that goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know what we're saying in not so many words? The three of us, I think, still agree that the most likely Western Division final is Calgary against Edmonton.
Yeah, sure. The traditional favorite, right? I would buy that.
Yeah, I would say Edmonton has the opposite problem that the Riders do, where they're scoring a bunch of points, but they're not stopping anybody.
I thought the stat you're going to drop in, Joe, is the very simple stat, which is that the point differential for these guys is exactly 0.
Well, so that's a difference of one game.
So,
you could point to a specific game a week or so ago that maybe they shouldn't have won if it wasn't handed to them. But, you know,
the stat that always compels me about the Riders in 2018 is they're the only team to lose to Montreal and beat Calgary, which says a lot about this team, I think. Now, we shouldn't blow all our time on the Riders, even though I'm sure their fan base is lapping this up, any of them who are listening to this aspect of the show. Let's talk some Red Blacks.
That are starting to, you know, getting the Twitter fingers out to let us know how awful we are for telling them that their team might not be quite as good as they think they are.
Well, it's certainly fun to watch on defense. I got a real penchant for this stuff. I just love the defensive side of the game more than the offensive side these days, really. So I am eating up this Riders ball as a non-Bombers fan, as you know, my team's already mailing it in. What can we say about these Red Blacks, who I guess we just don't like talking about that much? Because to me, again, this is an infuriating team. not just because you can't pick them in CFL Pick'em or at the sports book, but just because they just can't seem to, again, take control of that East. And it is by dint of the Tiger Cats losing in big moments and making mental errors, especially in the first half of the season, that the Blacks are in first place. Doctor, how do you attribute this win? To what, I should say.
They were the offense after doing 0 for 2 weeks, basically 0 for 2 weeks, got itself straightened out in a game that meant they were playing the toughest defense they had faced over the past 3 weeks. They not only got it done, they seemed to remember William Powell was an important player. they seem to surprisingly be able to get the running game going against the Saskatchewan defense. I didn't think Powell would be as successful. Trevor Harris didn't seem to be as sort of jumpy, you know, in the pocket and even ran a couple of times successfully. Ottawa, you know, gosh, you know, they're sometimes I look at that team and think they could be 10-2 like Calgary. And then there are other times I look at them and go, how come they're not like 5-7?
They're maddening. They're maddening.
Maddening team.
No, totally.
And you know, which is why, and that's why I'm not sure a team like that can win a divisional final and maybe a divisional semifinal if they finish second and then a Grey Cup as well. I just don't know if they are good enough, consistently enough, to get it done.
Wow. Trevor Harris, yeah. The stat line on Trevor Harris was amazing. 27 of 34, 334 yards, 2 touchdowns. Where is this guy? Wasn't he getting benched in the middle of the game last week?
He got benched for a series
at
BC. You know, and the three of us collectively were like, look, if you're going to bench your quarterback, you know, don't do it for one series, you know.
They realized what a bad idea it was.
Well,
that was a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, and let's face it, the guy they ran out there, they should have never run out there to begin with. Or if you're going to run him out there, let him play the entire half, you know. And you know, I don't get what the series for Davis was against BC. It didn't seem to do anything. It didn't turn that game around for them. You know, Trevor Harris last week got it done convincingly. Ottawa got a win it had to have to at least for another week, you know, make the critics clam up or at least make the critics a little quieter than they might otherwise be. But yeah, a team you look at and go, yeah, they're going to be winning this week, right? Yeah. You know, I mean,
this week they were even short on weapons. They're facing one of the best pass rushes in the league, and they still get away with a game like this. Now, credit that Red Blacks offensive line. This was easily their best game of the year. They ripped it apart for William Powell to get that 69-yarder. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They gave Trevor lots of protection in the pocket all day. Nice job by them. maybe that could be sustainable. And what was wild is that the Red Blacks were short on their top tier of receivers. I mean, all they really had out there was Deontay Spencer, who, you know, had everybody's lunch. So he had a great game. He had a very nice game. What is this? 8 receptions for 110 yards, including a 64-yarder? Yeah, that was nice. That was a nice play. All right, Joe, how do you see the Red Blacks moving forward? Is this another miracle year? Remember now, do the opposite.
I feel like I should, but I don't think it's so much of a miracle at this point. They're going to probably win the division.
Okay.
From what I could see, they do tend to hold the ball. And they don't
– Yes.
They keep the ball more than other teams do. They just have trouble punching it in. And when the other team is marching, they punch it in a little bit more often. So you could really see that switching over the next couple of weeks where if they could finish a few more drives, they can look like a juggernaut again. I don't see Hamilton quite catching up, although there is the week 19 and 20 home and home. That's really going to determine the division, I think. But I just have this feeling that they're not quite showing what they can be quite yet. They just finish a few more drives and make a stop or two more. We're talking about this team as one of the best teams in the league.
You know, here's the irony. They win the Grey Cup a year, they go 8-9-1. The following year, they go 8-10.
Eight, nine, and one again, I think.
8-9-1 again. That's right. They went 8-9-1 again. They're probably going to post their best regular season record over the past 3 years. And the three of us collectively are less confident in this team's ability to win in the playoffs than the teams that went into the playoffs two consecutive years with losing records.
To be fair, I didn't have a heck of a lot of confidence that they would win in 2016. But they did. I feel like they were a better team then, but they just had so many injuries. A lot of injuries to the quarterback position in the last 2 years. This year, you're not seeing that as much. But I just feel like they're a little bit, when they do have their starting quarterback available, which is most of the time, they're not quite as sharp. They're not finishing things as well as I think they could be. But like I said, if they can start putting the ball in the end zone, because they're holding the ball probably about four or five more plays per game than anybody else is. So they're keeping the ball, sustaining drives. If they can finish the drives and keep Lewis Ward off the field a little bit more often, they probably start to roll.
Now, what do you get against Lewis Ward?
I know what Dr. Rouge has against Lewis Ward. I don't have anything against him. He's doing a fantastic job as far as kicking field goals goes, but he's kicked a lot of them.
What do you have against Lewis Ward, Doctor? We love the kicker here at Rouge White and Blue.
I have nothing against him when he's on the field, except that he's successful.
Right.
I mean, you know, a minor complication. Miss one every now and then. I mean, he's made like 173,006 field goals in a row. Miss one, for crying out loud.
I think they need to get that Cleveland Browns kicker over to the CFL. I'm like, Dr. Rouge's very happy. That guy misses.
I don't think that's happening.
That guy will miss every time. So that's a Rouge opportunity on every kick. Absolutely. Right. Right. We need the Rouge in the NFL. Let's go to the break. We'll be right back with our picks for next week and the, I don't know, halfway done results of a very interesting poll that I posted today on Twitter. Right back after this. Yeah, we're going to pick next week's games real quick for all the good it does us. I think we were about a collective 1-17 last week on whatever.
No, I was 2-1. Come on, guys.
Oh, you were? Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. Props. I thought the best anybody did was 1-2. I believe that's what I was. Right. So let's talk about this one. This was a poll that I just sort of posted on CFL Pass. I got to admit, I was a little bit inspired by Dr. Rouge today. Now, you had, it wasn't today, but I think it was last week, you had a poll about which of these will happen first. Do you recall that? Do you recall it? Okay. What were the choices on that one?
Well, I had one sort of snarky one, and then I had one serious one. One poll was, you know, where is Matt Nichols next year? Oh. Is he the starting quarterback in Winnipeg, the backup quarterback in Winnipeg, the starting quarterback somewhere else, or the backup quarterback somewhere else? And roughly 45% or so of the people who voted suggested that he was most likely going to be the backup quarterback somewhere else. Leading to that,
okay,
what you wish.
Okay.
And then I had one that was a little bit snarky toward the start of the NHL season, And I suggested which is most likely to happen in the NHL this season. A Toronto-Winnipeg, meaning an all-Canadian Stanley Cup final. Montreal or Ottawa making the playoffs. Or the LA Kings having the best record.
Okay. See, I thought,
and of course, you had to chime in with the Lakers.
Okay. I thought that you were mixing it up. See, I thought the first one was a CFL reference.
Oh,
the second
one
was NHL, and the third one was, you know, NBA. If it's the LA Kings, I'm still voting for the Kings. I'm still voting for LA wins the championship.
I tell you, could you imagine Grey Cup involving the Argos and the Blue Bombers? You'd have to do the show by yourself 1 week, because the two of us, I mean, you know, I'd be like talking like 1990, you know, and just going on and on, just rubbing it in, you know, and I don't know what comeback Joe would have, because I'd be telling the truth, but it wouldn't happen.
So what?
I would just simply point out that Justin Medlock is the best in the league at wasting rouge attempts.
1990.
Medlock.
See what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, this would be brutal. I wouldn't have to do anything. I could just record an hour of trash talking. And you're telling me that's a bad thing? That's what you want on a podcast.
Yeah.
Mike and Mad Dog have gotten 30 years out of this shit. Yeah. Come on.
Trash talking with the guy from Wisconsin and the prof from Pennsylvania. That'd be one heck of a trash talk show.
Yeah, hey, great. fantastic stuff.
I'll see you and raise you a rouge. You know?
In any case, well, here's your chance to talk some trash at each other, at me, and at the Twitter audience, or at least the CFL Twitter audience that paid attention to me today. My question. Which CFL team will win the Grey Cup first? Your choices are the Montreal Alouettes, the Toronto Argonauts, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, or the Atlantic Schooners. Now, I've gotten in – okay, so this was posted 4 hours ago, I guess. I've gotten 107 votes on this sucker. And the runaway winner at this point is the Atlantic Schooners. at 41%. The Alouettes are down from their peak of 9% to just 7%, and in second, it's a trade-off between the Argonauts and the Bombers. As we have been doing the podcast, the Bombers have gone up from 24% to 26%, and the Argonauts are at 27%. Now, did both of you guys vote, and did both of you guys vote using 10 burner accounts? Joe, confess.
I voted for the Argos. Because they
did
consistently
really? Wow.
win every about 5 to 7 years.
Okay.
Even if they're not supposed to, they just, you know, it's like, oh, dang, we're due.
And they are coming out of the Calgary. East. They are coming out of the East. But they are. So they do have, one would argue, kind of an easier path to get there. Doctor, you voted for your Toronto Argonauts as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. Is that a realistic vote?
I think it is.
I have not voted.
All kidding aside, here's what I based it on.
Okay.
All right. Here's what I based on. Number one, Montreal is probably 2 years away at minimum from being, I think, consistently competitive enough that we can say they might be able to, you know, steal a division title, get to a Grey Cup game, et cetera. Winnipeg's biggest problem is you got Calgary. You got Saskatchewan, you got Edmonton, you know, you've got sort of three big beasts you got to get through just to get to the Grey Cup game. Atlantic, all right, look, guys, they don't exist yet, folks, all right? I mean, it's like they don't exist. And so, therefore, most realistically, you have to say, yeah, Toronto is the team most likely among that foursome to be the next to win, the Grey Cup. And again, part of that is – out of the East, as you suggested, the road is a lot less treacherous.
Yeah, and the Atlantic Schooners would be playing in the East.
Mm-hmm.
2021. Schooner Super Bowl. Oh, my God. Grey Cup. Take away my license. Take away my CFL podcasting license. Right, let's ignore that ugly incident, and I'm going to have to take that one off the tape. And let's talk next week.
Box of shame.
Yeah, Box of shame, 8 o'clock, Monday morning.
And you go into the box and you feel shame. Let's talk next week's game. Speaking of feeling shame, Montreal Alouettes, 10.5-point underdogs at the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Hey, if the line is double-digit points against the Alouettes, that means Johnny Manziel must be starting. And lo and behold, Johnny Canadian Football is starting. I'm going to take the Bombers to win this game, but audaciously, I think the Alouettes are going to cover this spread just because Johnny Canadian Football is back. Doctor?
Let's face it, if Winnipeg doesn't win this week, pack it up, fire the coach, bench everybody, let Pritchard play. Look, if you don't beat Montreal with a week off, playing at home in an environment in which you already know you're under a lot of scrutiny, if you can't win this game, there's a realistic chance you will not get to that 8-10, which we think is probably the magic number. In order to guarantee yourself fourth place. Yeah, Winnipeg wins, and this should not be pretty.
Were you throwing Joe some shade there?
No, I
saying
like
that
see
he's
Pritchard
not fit
play.
To suit up. Yeah, okay. Oh, you would
let
like to
Pritchard
see that. Okay.
Play.
All right. Okay. All right, Joe. How do you weigh in on this game?
I really hope that I'm not next in line to suit up because the Bombers have enough problems as it is.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, I'm with you guys. If the Bombers can't put the Alouettes away, they should just wrap it up, go home. They're not going anywhere.
Is it going to be close?
It better not be.
Okay.
Nah, it can't be.
Okay.
This is like 30-17. This one's not close.
We're going to get some touchdowns. Maybe. Or is that like 11 rouges and a couple of field goals?
Who knows? Maybe you get an interception or something. I mean, 30-17. No. As much as I want to say Winnipeg is stumbling and maybe no, not this week. Nope. Montreal had its chance. It's done. Goodbye. Winnipeg wins this week.
You are so cruel. Edmonton Eskimos, 2.5-point favorites at Ottawa Red Blacks. Wow, I guess that home field mystique is really gone there in Ottawa. Now, let's see. I've got notes on this one. CJ Gable is at practice and is probable for the Eskimos. And I'm thinking he could be an X factor in this game. Joe, I'm going to have you pick the Ottawa game first. What do you think?
I have a feeling that Ottawa is going to do very, very well in this game. They have a potent offense, like we've talked about, that just hasn't been able to put the ball in the end zone quite as often as they want to. Edmonton has not quite a Toronto or Montreal defense, but it's not all that far off either. So I'm taking the Eskimos because that's the pick that makes no less sense to me. And when it comes to Ottawa, I can't pick them up.
All right. Well done. Well done, Joe. Okay, Doc, what do you say?
I think Ottawa keeps the offense moving. I think Ottawa's defense does enough to at least slow down Mike Riley and all of those pass catchers he has. I like Ottawa winning this game, field goal-ish, something like that.
Wow. Wow, you guys are not making it easy for me here. Joe's argument is compelling. Do the opposite. But I think Gable is going to be enough. I think that's going to put Eskimos over the top here. I think they're going to pull off this game, and I think that they're not going to give Saskatchewan any breathing space because these two teams are tied right now in the standings, and Saskatchewan goes to Toronto where they are a 3-point favorite. Doctor, how does your team do this week? After a bye.
Well, look at it this way. They didn't lose last week.
Okay, right.
Of course, yep. They also didn't play last week. The best case scenario for Toronto is that the Saskatchewan offense is again stuck in a kind of, second gear and can't get out of it. And maybe the team has, sort of a collective nightmare after what happened in the Eastern Final last year. But that's, you're starting to get into the wacky this point. Yeah. This is a game Saskatchewan ought to win. And it's one of those games where, again, if you have any hope of catching Calgary, any hope at all, you got to beat Toronto like a drum. And again, if you want to hold off what could be Edmonton, could be BC, could be Winnipeg getting closer, you know, you got to win this game. Saskatchewan, to me, has to win this game. And that's the reason I think they will.
Okay. All right. Yeah, let's avoid the supernatural when we're discussing this game. Who's your quarterback this week? Doc.
I still think you stick with McLeod Bethel Thompson. Yeah. He has to be the guy that you're projecting to be the starter at minimum through the regular season. Unless he's had a horrible week of practice, unless he's doing something that suggests he doesn't deserve the chance to start. I think Mark Trestman is not the kind of guy who's going to switch quarterbacks, on a regular basis. He went with Franklin, but he did say at the time that those two were really close in terms of who was second, who was third. It's Bethel Thompson still.
Okay, I'm going to go to Joe on this one. It's Riders -3 at the Argonauts. And Joe, I'm going to give you another one to chew on as well, since you're a defensive skeptic here that they can't maintain this intensity. Let's say over under defense special teams points 15.
I'll say under,
right?
Because they're going to get a lot of two and outs. Toronto has one of the worst offenses in the league, probably not the worst, because Montreal seems to be at the bottom of every offensive category except for offensive touchdowns. They do have one more than the Riders do. But Toronto is consistently 8, 7, 8, 8 in all these rankings. The Riders aren't much better, and sometimes even a touch worse, but Toronto's also in the same boat defensively and might even have a worse defense than Montreal does. So I would say the Riders are probably going to win this by 10. If the offense is ever going to get going, this is the game to get them going. Even if they don't, I can't see Toronto scoring more than 10. Even off a bye week. I don't have any faith in the Argos at this point.
All right, so you'd go over-under on the point spread, too. Over-under on the, points scored. What worries me about this game is the point spread. You know, why is this -3 only? That bugs me. Now, look, I always use this as justification whenever I talk betting on this show, whenever I talk point spreads or whatever. Yes, I do a little bit of betting, and I'm not, like, saying everybody should go out and gamble, okay? But my argument always is this. These guys who make these lines know things. And seeing a line like this makes me real suspicious. Why is this so low? Now, I know Toronto's home team, that's usually worth like 3-4 points or whatever. But really, aren't the Riders even better than a touchdown? Better than the Argos? I mean, seriously, why is this line so low?
It
makes me suspicious. Makes me suspicious. But I'll take the Riders -3 because I'm a sucker. Right. Okay, here we go. It's a BC special. BC at home, 2-point underdogs to the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Now, let's do it. This is the BC Lions. We're going to do an injury list checkup as well as for the Tiger Cats. Wally Bono has said that Travis Lule will likely not recover even until the end of the regular season, much less activate him, which has to make you wonder about their current quarterback, Mr. Jennings. For the Tiger Cats, no Alex Green. We already know that. Brandon Banks is uncertain, but is probable because he will start practicing tomorrow on Thursday. He has not practiced this week. Markway McDaniel, the recent signing, has not practiced this week either through Wednesday when we record this podcast. So there's the information for you. Tiger Cats -2 at BC. Joe, what do you say?
I say there's two things working against the Tiger Cats here. One is that trip west just does not seem historically to pan out for them. I can't remember the last time that the Tiger Cats beat BC in BC. Might have been last year for all I can remember, but it just doesn't seem like something that happens all that often to begin with. But there's another thing I want to bring up too, is that BC has a sneaky good defense as compared to what you might expect from a 5-6 team. They're not giving up much per play. They are not giving up many passing TDs. Mazzoli isn't throwing as many passing TDs as you'd think, given all the numbers he's put up. I would say half their offensive, almost half their offensive touchdowns come on the ground. So if BC can keep Hamilton from blowing the top off of them, I think they're going to be okay.
There is a direct correlation. I did this early in the year. I'm still noticing it. There is a direct correlation in games when the Tiger Cats have one or fewer passing touchdowns and winning or losing. They did it last week. Zero touchdown passes, loss. Minus two at BC Lions. What do you say, Doc?
I agree with Joe. That trip out west, you know, especially for is a long one for any of the three teams that are in the Ontario province. I flip that around and I say, boy, I don't have a lot of confidence in Jonathan Jennings. I flip that around and I say Hamilton is just inconsistent enough. I flip that around and I say BC might have the better defense. And I think one team wins 20-19, and it's probably Hamilton, I think. But I don't have a good feel for this game at all.
All right. Good call there, because I'm going the opposite way. I'll say BC Lions. Yeah, sure. The only team that's beaten them in this fashion, night game at BC, is Calgary. The BC is 4-1 this season based on that. If they make the playoffs, they can thank the schedule makers for that. I mean, I realize this is how it has to be, but it's just outstanding that this team is consistently 7-11, 8-10 these past 3-4 years, and basically winning these games. You know, I mean, it's outstanding. The correlation there has got to be outstanding. Joe, in the offseason, maybe you can plot these points and do a nice statistical summary for me. Not like you're going to have time for that. Like you ever have time for that now that you've spawned. In any case, let's wrap this one. Doctor, any words of wisdom for us? Visit MorettiPhD.wordpress.com, perhaps?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's certainly good. You know, I think my takeaway for everyone to consider this week, again, something I sort of mentioned in passing last week or a few minutes ago, rather, six teams between 7-5 and 5-7. Chances are that all but one of them is going to make the playoffs. Do you think that any of those teams in a one game on the road or neutral site has a chance right now to beat Calgary and deny Calgary what it really ought to be? And that is staring at a potential three-peat championship, not a three-peat defeat in the in the Grey Cup.
Of course we can't imagine that. That's what makes it so much fun when Calgary loses on a couple of busted plays.
This is true.
It's fantastic. Joe, it's like you can set your watch to it. You can set your calendar to it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, how would you like to leave us today?
I think I've spread enough wisdom out for one night.
Is that what we're calling it now, wisdom? Right, okay. In the CFL pass poll, it's now Atlanta Scooters 42%, Toronto 26%, Winnipeg 25%. Which CFL team will win the Grey Cup first? Hey, check it out on CFL Pass on Twitter. That's me, Oz Davis. And as the co-host of the Rouge, White, and Blue CFL podcast, I'm logging off for this week. For my co-hosts, Joe Pritchard and Dr. Rouge, this has been the Rouge, White, and Blue CFL podcast. Enjoy the games. And remember, defense wins championships, but your offense has got to score something.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.
shape up.